You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 10th of October 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, I hope you enjoyed the Albion narrations last week. If you haven't listened to them, I do recommend you check them out. There are some absolute gems in there in amongst these letters that were written just after the emancipation of the slaves, and they give eyewitness accounts to the way that the slaves were treated. And it is very, 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 very educating to hear them. And they're so different to the way that these slave owners are portrayed today as abusing their slaves. And according to these eyewitness accounts that are primary source documents, the slaves were treated as if they were part of the family because they did belong to the family, which meant that they had a higher status than if they were paid servants. They were servants that belonged to the family. Anyway, I'm not here today to talk about those narrations, but I do recommend you listen to them. Particularly, I think the last one gives the details of the church's position on slavery, and it points out how these Christian men treated their slaves. But today I want to really talk about white people being excluded from university and other places, and this term whiteness, which is used as shorthand to refer to white people. And of course the people using it say, oh no, we're not really referring to people, we're just referring to a particular mentality. But they talk about whiteness needing to be eliminated. And of course the only way you can eliminate whiteness is if you eliminate white people. And this is going on in some of our top universities. This sort of thing is being talked about. White students have reportedly been banned from attending Black History Month events by a student union at the University of Westminster, leading to accusations of racial segregation on campus. Black History Month. So Black History Month excludes anybody else's history being talked about. Surely that is not a good thing. I mean, where is White History Month? Of course, they tell us that White History Month is all the time, because all the history that gets talked about normally is white history. But that is what you would expect in white countries. The term history means his story. It's an individual story. It's an individual nation's story. You cannot tell history from multiple different points of view. It can only be an individual story, an individual nation's story. If you look at the definition for history, it says one, tale or story. So, and that's in the word itself, his story. Two, a chronological record of significant events, such as those affecting a nation or institution, often including an explanation of their causes. So the very second definition is about a nation, which is, of course, an ethnicity, a group of people that are connected through their ancestry. A treatise presenting systematically related natural phenomena, as of geography, animals, or plants, an account of a patient's medical background, an established record, a branch of knowledge that records and explains past events, events that form the subject matter of a history, events of the past, one that is finished or done for, previous treatment, handling, or experience, as of a metal. So you can see that it's all about individual things, such as the history of animals, the history of plants, the history of a particular plant. And, I mean, you can do a history. You can say there's a general history of mankind, but that basically just includes the growth of civilizations. And all of the civilizations were started off with white people. If you go back and you look into history, it was white people that started these civilizations. And they invited in other peoples that had not actually created a civilization for themselves. And they ended up promoting the idea of civilization to these other peoples. They ended up interbreeding with them, and then they lost the ability to maintain the civilization. And that is the history of mankind, really. I mean, when we look at some particular people groups, for instance, Black Africans, we don't see them actually creating a civilization. So we don't see them having a history. They'd never had a written language, so they weren't able to write down a history. So now we have this idea that we have Black History Month, and they've effectively all they can really talk about is how they were enslaved, and because they were enslaved, it was a terrible, mean thing to do to them, and that's why they don't have any history, and that's the reason why they don't have a civilization on Africa, on the continent of Africa. And I guess you could say, well, because Black people did enslave other Blacks, that could be a reason why they never developed a civilization, because they just sold one another instead of developing things that they could sell. But that is effectively the history. So Black History Month, because it just talks about slavery and it tries to give reasons for why Black people don't have a history, it ends up just picking on white people and claiming that white people are the problem. White people enslaved the Blacks, and that's why they don't have this. That's why they don't have much of a history. So it ends up being anti-white. And the another side of it is to try and portray European history as having involved Blacks in some way. For instance, they will claim that people that came over from Africa to Europe, Britain and Ireland, in the 6th and the 7th century from Africa, they will try and claim that they were sub-Saharan Africans. Of course, they weren't. They were Vandals. They were Germanic tribes that conquered North Africa. And they conquered North Africa from the Carthaginians, who were Phoenician people, and Phoenicians were white as well. So it's very disingenuous the way that they do this. I recently saw a Daily Mail article that was claiming to have found a West African from the Yoruba tribe, I think it was, from a Nigerian tribe from the 7th century. And it said that this burial was in the same family plot as the white people who were Saxons, and it claimed that this meant that there was diversity in Britain. Of course, I would look at that and say, well, it was far more likely that she was a slave girl and she was buried in the same plot as the family because she belonged to the family, because she was a family slave. I think that's more likely than there was a black community living in Britain at the time of the Saxons. So they will just find one body in a cemetery of somebody that's black, and they'll claim that that means that the whole country was full of black people and had a black community. And of course, that is just that's just not true. We read about Elizabeth I, and there were some black people in the country then, and she removed all of them because they were employed while white people were not employed. In actual fact, they were employed as slaves. And it says that because of that, they were being looked after, whereas there were white people who were dying for want of employment, for want of being enslaved, basically. And she requested that all of these sub-Saharan Africans be removed. So, and then we can look to just after the Second World War, and we can see that Britain was 99.9% white. So this idea that black people have been in Britain all this time, that diversity built Britain, it's just not true. And when they try to include black people in British history, of course, they just include the slavery and say that the British people enslaved them. They leave out the fact that it was British people that actually put a stop to slavery. And as the Royal Commentator recently said on CNN, I believe it was, there were thousands of white people that died putting a stop to slavery because the black Africans just refused to stop doing it after the British people had banned it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with black people being proud of their history, but to do it at the expense of white people in white countries, and to have this month that's just Black History Month. I mean, if they're going to have a Black History Month and they're going to talk about Black history, why don't they have a White History Month? And why is it that they are excluding white people from taking part in this Black History Month? The Student Union reportedly proclaimed in an email to students that some events during Black History Month, which is observed in October in the United Kingdom and Ireland, will be reserved for black students to encourage a safe space for discussions and honest conversations, according to a report from The Telegraph. And I think Black History Month might take place in February in America. So they have this Black History Month in America and in Britain. They have it at different times. Of course, they also have Gay History Month now, and they also have Gay Pride at a different time. So you have all these minorities that are being raised up, and they say that this is just in the interest of equality. We want to make everybody equal, but they're doing this at the expense of all the other people. Like Black History Month is at the expense of whites. Gay History Month is at the expense of straight people. Where is the straight pride? Of course, straight pride, if you're white, would be white pride. And of course, that's absolutely forbidden. But we're allowed to have this gay pride that they have, LGBTQ pride. So what's going on here is they're actually banning white people from going to these events because they're saying they want it to be a safe space for discussions and honest conversations. Well, if that is a safe space and it has no white people in it, then why are we not segregating? Why are we not segregating and creating an entirely safe space for black Africans? I mean, they have the whole of the continent of Africa as a safe space for black Africans, don't they? There's very few white people there. Of course, people will say, well, black people have been in Britain now for, I don't know, 70 years, probably something like that. So we can't really encourage them to go back to Africa. Well, you know, if you can't do that and they don't really want to go back to Africa, then you could always have safe spaces created for them in Britain, couldn't you? You could say, right, well, we'll have all the black people living in this area over here. And then they have a whole safe space all to themselves. And they only have people that look like them teaching them and that they can emulate. And of course, this is what nationalism encourages. It encourages people to look out for their own people and to understand that they're going to feel most at home amongst their extended family. And of course, this is why the black students want to have a safe space just for black people, because they feel most comfortable and most at home when they're amongst their extended family. And they feel that if white people are going to be there, that white people are intruding on this space. And, you know, that's just a natural thing to feel. But if we say that as white people and we say, well, we want a safe space for whites and we feel as if these black people that are here are intruding on us, we'll be accused of being racist. And our recent ancestors are all accused of being racist for saying that, you know, they didn't really want all this immigration coming in from the Caribbean in the 50s and the 60s. And they were accused of being racist for this. But if you apply what they're saying here to it, our British ancestors were just trying, they didn't want their safe space being encroached upon by another race. I mean, it's quite a natural response to have, to want to be amongst your own extended family and to not want to have people from another family there. And of course, if you live at home, you have guests that come around your house, but the guests don't share the house with you, do they? They go home afterwards. And I think our British ancestors thought this would happen after the people from the Caribbean came over to help with rebuilding the country after the war. They thought that they were going to go back after when the job finished. But they didn't. They stayed here, and now we have all these different communities living within Britain, I think about 15% non-white, I think now. So it's effectively prevented Britain from being a safe space for the indigenous British, because it has all these peoples from these other races here. And of course, that's not to say they're all troublemakers or anything like that. But we do know that it's going to be easier for criminals of one ethnic group it's going to be easier for them to find victims if there are members of other ethnic groups about, because it's going to be more difficult for them to pick on their own ethnic group. I mean, it just stands to reason, doesn't it? It's going to be more difficult for you to self-harm than to harm somebody else. It's going to be more difficult to harm a member of your own family than a member of somebody else's family. So, of course, it's going to be easier for criminals to find victims from other ethnic groups rather than their own. And, of course, that's what we have with multiculturalism. That's why we see more of these crimes and more of these problems that are occurring in multicultural cities. Well, in response to this, Brexit leader Nigel Farage said, "Now we have apartheid. Well done, everyone. Racial segregation is back." And of course, this is the Sivnat way to look at this. They will point out this is like apartheid. This is like South Africa, when the white people kept the blacks separate. And now we have black people trying to keep white people separate. And of course, because that's just the natural way to be. Apartheid, when you look at South Africa, under apartheid, South Africa did not have anywhere near the problems that it has now. It didn't have anywhere near the crime rate that it has now. It is better to have peoples separated. That is the natural way to live. But of course, Nigel Farage wants to promote multiculturalism. He wants to promote multiculturalism. He wants to promote a civic nationalist view where the only thing that actually joins people together is the fact that they all have the same piece of paper saying that they're a British citizen. Whereas as an ethno-nationalist, we say that people should be linked by their ancestry. People should be able to politically organise based on their ancestry, and that countries and nations should be areas for nations to live exclusively without having to have multiculturalism. Of course, in main cities, capital cities, you're always going to have people from other ethnic groups there because so much business is done. But the majority of the rest of the country should be exclusively for one ethnic group, which is what we see happening in every other ethnicity in the world apart from the white ethnicities. We don't see the Chinese, for instance, having 15% black people living in their country. We don't see the Japanese having lots of Muslims living in their country. Japan is for the Japanese, China is for the Chinese, and Europe is apparently for everyone. Mixed race political commentator and Anglican deacon Calvin Robinson said that he was sorry to see the Westminster Student Union implementing racial segregation at the University of Westminster. Of course, Westminster is where the British government are, so this is a very highly placed university that is actually doing this. He said, "This is the problem with critical race theory. Well-intentioned activists are trying to create safe spaces and inadvertently stoking racial tensions where they may not have existed to begin with." And again, this is the point. White people try to get on with everybody. We try to get on with black people. White people will go out of their way to try to include black people, to include peoples from all different races and religions, just because that's the sort of people we are. We try to include people. We try not to be racist. And the people that will be going to this Black History Month will be that exact sort of people that don't want to be racist, people that support Black Lives Matter. But when they go there, they're then told, "Oh, no, you can't come in because you're white. You're excluded because you're white." And of course, this does actually help to wake them up to the fact that critical race theory and Black Lives Matter and all these things, all this anti-racism stuff, that left-wing anti-racism is actually anti-white. And it does help to wake them up to that. The union did not specify which events would be prohibited for white students. On Instagram this week, advertising a career development seminar, the union said, "This is a Black History Month event, but all students are welcome. Be sure not to miss out." But they've said that white people are not invited to the safe spaces, so it is going to be excluding white people. How would they feel if we said we're going to exclude black people from this space? Of course, you'd be accused of racism, wouldn't you? Westminster University has also recently created a Black History Year Create program to specifically help prepare black students to enter into the workforce. And of course, what that is going to do is it's going to tell these students about all these microaggressions that they might experience when they're going into work. So it's really encouraging them to cause problems when they actually go to work. Explaining the idea, a university spokesman said, "Equality of opportunity does not always mean giving everyone access to the same thing. It means creating a level playing field by offering some programs to those who are underrepresented or those who have had less access to opportunity." So instead of these programs being based upon merit, based upon people that are most interested in them, they're just going to be offered to people on the basis of their race, because black people are underrepresented at college or at university. And of course, we're told that there can only be one reason for that, white racism. Of course, black people have a lower average IQ than white people. So that's the reason why they're underrepresented at universities. And to say that it's all white people's fault just gives them this this resentment of white people, where white people get blamed for everything. And this Black History Year Create program, that's what it's going to do. It's going to tell black people that any problems that they bump into at work are all going to be because of white racism. While the British education system has imported many tenets of the far left on issues surrounding race and gender from the United States, instances of racial segregation have not been a prominent feature of the Decolonize the Curriculum push. And of course, this Decolonize the Curriculum means replace as many white people in the curriculum as you can with black people. And if the curriculum is based on a part in time that where black people weren't actually a part of it, it means that that they should just not be doing that, or they should be inventing black people that you can put in there. However, in 2019, the University of Edinburgh did prohibit white people from speaking at a resisting whiteness event. You imagine having a resisting blackness event. It would get shut down straight away. But we're allowed to have these resisting whiteness events, and they're allowed to ban white people from them. A prestigious Scottish university arranged an event titled Resisting Whiteness, where white people were to be banned from speaking. So they're banned from listening at this new event. And a year ago, or 3 years ago, they were banned from speaking at this event. Resisting Whiteness, which billed itself as Cutie Poc, Queer and Trans People of Colour outfit, according to The Telegraph, also planned to set up two so-called safe spaces at the University of Edinburgh event and intended to ban white people from one of them. So they were doing this 3 years back, and nothing was done about it. Of course, apparently we're not allowed to use the word queer now, if you listen to Friday's Daily Nationalist, and yet that forms a part of the LGBTQ, doesn't it? And it forms a part of this Cutie Poc, Queer and Trans People of Colour. So the words that they've recently come up with are already going out of politically correct fashion as fast as they are invented. They said, "We will not be giving the microphone to white people during the questions and answers. Not because we don't think white people have anything to offer to the discussion, but because we want to amplify the voices of people of colour," explained a primer for the event. So it's talking about resisting whiteness, something which can only occur if you have white people. And they're not even going to allow white people to talk, not going to allow white people to give their point of view, to point out that... you know, maybe because the people that are going to this, remember, would be the sort of people that are saying, yes, we have to get rid of whiteness, but they're just going to be banned from speaking. I mean, how hateful can you be against white people if you just want to ban them from speaking? They say, "If you are a white person with a question, please share it with a member of the committee or our speakers after the panel discussion." After the panel discussion. So you're not allowed to actually take part in the panel. If you're white, you have to just speak to them quietly afterwards so they can pretend that they had nothing to do with white people, but to pretend that, you know, they're doing everything they can to resist whiteness. Of course, if it wasn't for whiteness, if it wasn't for white people's character, their racial character, they wouldn't even have universities. We wouldn't even have universities that we had opened up to these people. Because we wouldn't have invented it, would we? And we wouldn't have been charitable enough to invite them over. And when you think about white people, the white person's character? Well, we can look at our religion, for instance, Christianity. Love your neighbour as yourself. Charity, mercy, justice, all these things that we associate with humanity, we mainly associate with white people. And it's white people that institutionalize them. That's what whiteness is. Whiteness is being noble, being charitable, trying to help people, trying to set a good example. That's what it means to be white. I guess what they think as whiteness means putting white people up front and forward and above everybody else. But if you're white, that's what you should be doing. just the same as if you're black, you should be putting black people first. If you're Jewish, you should be putting Jewish people first. And yet if you're white and you want to put white people first, you're told that's whiteness and it must be eliminated. James McCull, described by the Telegraph as an anti-racism campaigner, complained that the blatant racism was a retrograde step. He said it sets back the battle to achieve equality and fairness by decades, all because of the actions of a tiny group of extremists whose perverse sense of logic has led them to belittle white people, not by who they are as individuals, but merely because of their skin colour. She explained, it's all based upon race. Imagine if this event was called Resisting Blackness, and non-white people were told they could not ask questions nor access a room because they were the wrong colour. Of course, that's it. It needs to be reversed. We need to think about these things in reverse. And I'm surprised that this is actually an anti-racism campaigner that is pointing this out. The University of Edinburgh is said to have expressed our concerns to them about certain aspects of the format of the event to the organisers, and that they had backed down on having a no-white safe space as a result. But they did not say whether the decision to ban white people from speaking was reversed. I wonder what they think white people are going to do that makes the safe space unsafe. Do they think white people are just going to suddenly attack black people? Of course not. These white people are there because they want to put black people first, and this is the way they're treated. The event in the Scottish capital does not appear to be a one-off, with the National Union of Students having sold tickets for another Resisting Whiteness event in September 2018, according to their social media. Other social media output from the so-called union references anti-fascism workshops, decolonising education, institutional racism, and claims that sharing culture must be coupled with discussions of systemic racism. So it's all extreme left. And this is the National Union of Students that if you're a student, you're going to want to join up with. The issue of left-wing racial segregation first came to major prominence in 2017 at the Progressive Evergreen State University in Washington State, when students demanded that professors, administrators, and other students abide by a day of absence in which white people were asked to leave the campus. Think about that. White people invented university, they invented education, they invented further learning, higher learning, adult learning, and they're being told you have to leave the campus. You have to leave the campus because you're making it an unsafe space. So being kicked out of what we have invented. I mean, if they really want to get rid of whiteness and get rid of everything to do with white people, they'd have to get rid of the university, wouldn't they? They'd have to get rid of electricity as well, computers, technology, all of those things would have to go out the window if you want to get rid of everything that white people have created, if you truly want to decolonize everything. The refusal by Professor Brett Weinstein to bow to such demands resulted in the left-wing academic facing threats against himself and his family, ultimately forcing him to resign from his position at the university. So this was a left-wing professor, a left-wing Jewish professor, that actually spoke up about this, and he was forced to resign because he wanted to go into work that day, I guess. The use of highly racially charged politics have been steadily bleeding into the British system as well, with the nation's largest teachers' union, for example, calling for educators to receive activist training on the issue of whiteness in order to increase the focus of white privilege and colonialism in schools last year. That's the largest teachers' union is calling for teachers to become activists and giving them activist training. Teachers are supposed to be unbiased. They are supposed to be objective. They're not supposed to lean politically to the right or the left, and neither is that supposed to make its way into their teaching. And yet that is exactly what is going on here. Britain's largest teachers' union has called for activist training on issues such as whiteness in order to make white privilege and colonialism visible in school. So they want to make the white pupils feel guilty and unwanted, basically. Guidance for teachers from the National Education Union said that there is an urgent need to decolonise all phases of education in the United Kingdom in the wake of the Black Lives Matter movement, which spread across the Atlantic Ocean from America last year. And of course, the Black Lives Matter movement is now being very much discredited, as organisers from it have run off and disappeared with the money, and Kanye West is wearing a White Lives Matter t-shirt and drawing attention to that because the Black Lives Matter movement was a huge scam. And yet here you have teachers from the National Education Union that are apparently listening to Black Lives Matter and saying, well, we need to decolonise all phases of education, remove all the white people from education. What do they think they're going to be left with then? The over 450,000 member union suggested that specialists could train teachers and schools on whiteness, anti-racism, creating tools for critical self-reflection and understanding the system, and make white privilege and colonialism visible in schools, according to a document seen by The Telegraph. And of course, Kemi Badenoch, I forget what position she actually held in the government at the time, Kemi Badenoch was pointing out that it's illegal to promote white privilege in schools, and schools should not be promoting Black Lives Matter. All of this is political. They're trying to turn these children into left-wing activists that hate themselves if they're white. The document said that all aspects of the education system, including how classrooms are laid out, the curriculum, and the daily routines of pupils, have all been shaped by colonization and neoliberalism. And what they mean here is the daily routines of pupils. Pupils are expected to turn up at 8 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning. And that's because white people are regimented and they get up and they used to go to work. Whereas black people are less regimented like that. So they might want to be able to turn up at whatever time of day they feel like, for instance. So that is literally what they are referring to there. I've seen them looking at maths and saying, well, 2 plus 2 equals 4, that's white, that is. Why can't 2 plus 2 equals 5? Why does it have to equal 4? It's white man's thinking to say that 2 plus 2 equals 4. Literally seen that occurring in maths. That's the sort of thing that they mean by decolonising everything. The critical race theory style report went on to claim that there is a silence around British imperialism and racism in British schools, and that British culture itself is saturated with a longing for return to empire without any understanding into what empire is or was. And, of course, any teaching about the British Empire, they just make out it was a terrible thing. How wicked was the empire? British people ended up shooting Indians, or they ended up shooting Africans, and they never talk about the positive things that the empire did, or that the empire handed over these countries to these peoples that were living there who were not up to the civil standard of civilization when we went there. And if you talk about Africa, that didn't have a civilization. If you talk about India, a lot of that was in ruins, and they were at war with one another. Human sacrifice was going on, and the British put a stop to that, and they put a stop to the warring and the fighting amongst the different factions. And they educated the people there, and they educated them up to a standard where they could govern themselves, and then they handed the country back to them. And the country by that time had been built up with railways, telecommunications, they had universities, schools, hospitals, all these things that they never had before. And the British Empire just handed these countries back to them. And that's not what is taught in schools. What is taught in schools is how the British Empire enslaved these other peoples. I mean, with so much of this, you have to look at it and you have to think, well, were our ancestors really that different to us today? If you look at us today, would we mistreat people? Would we enslave people? No, we wouldn't. We're a charitable people. And that's the way that we have to look in the past as well. We have to say that our ancestors would have been like we are today. They would not have been wanting to oppress people based on their colour. They would have treated people according to their merits, which is what we see. I mean, when we look at some of these Greatest Britons that we do in our Real Britannia series, there was one Greatest Briton, and he freed slaves. And he had a freed slave as his best mate on the ship. I can't recall which one it was. It was one of the ones that started out as a privateer. It was Sir Francis Drake. So, I mean, you're going back there hundreds of years to the time of slavery, and Francis Drake would free these slaves on these ships, because that's the sort of people that we were. We weren't the sort of people that were going to oppress others or treat them badly. Of course, there will always be a minority that are badly behaved, but generally, we were good people, just like we're good people now, trying to help black people with all these equality ideas. I mean, I'm not saying that the people that are trying to do this are wrong for doing it, or wrong for wanting to do it. I'm saying that they're wrong because the outcome of what they're doing is not going to be good for white people, and they should be putting white people first, just the same as everybody else should be putting their people first. And we don't have a problem with black people putting blacks first, or Jews putting Jewish people first. What we have a problem with is white people putting white people first. If we're not going to put white people first, who else is going to do that? Nobody else is going to do that. So really, we have to look at these policies where we're trying to help these other peoples, and there's nothing wrong with trying to help other peoples, but we should be looking at the policies, and if those policies are going to be weakening our own people in any way, then we shouldn't be carrying out those policies. That's the issue. I mean, the motives behind this, most people's motives are pure. They're not, you know, doing this because they think, well, we hate white people and we want to hurt white people. They're doing it because they want to help these other races. But the way that they're doing it, it is harmful to whites. It is excluding white people. As we see here, it's excluding white people from university, the universities that they actually built. I mean, what we should be doing is we should be encouraging black people to build universities in Africa and encouraging them to stay there and get educated there and to build up their own countries, rather than inviting them into European countries where they just prevent the European countries from being a safe space for Europeans. Just the same as they claim here that if white people go into a safe space for black people, it makes it unsafe. I'm not saying anything different here to what these students are saying. During a parliamentary committee finding that working class white students have been falling behind many of their counterparts, the National Education Union instructed teachers that the view that white pupils in general are doing worse overall is not accurate, as more black pupils per capita are living in poverty. So we know for a fact that it's the white working class that are falling behind with everything. Yet, according to this union, that's not accurate because more black pupils live in poverty. But what we're talking about here is these outcomes. And of course, if you have a lower average IQ, it's predicted that you're going to have a lower paying job rather than a higher paying job. The union said that the discussions around problems facing the working class white communities served as barriers and myths about racism. So white people can't be disadvantaged, I guess is what they're saying here. The joint secretary of the union, Mary Boosted, said that Britain has ignored the role black people and former colonies had in its island story in schools, and that the country is still struggling with the idea that people of non-European descent can be European. Well, they can't be, can they? She's just said it there. They are of non-European descent, so they can't be European. Of course, they can be the citizen of a country in Europe, but they can't actually be European because they are of non-European descent. I mean, the actual type of human being that they are cannot be European because they're not of European descent. And what does she think black people and former colonies had in the island story? Yes, we should talk about how the British Empire had colonies and what they did in these colonies. But we shouldn't pretend that Britain was multicultural. Dr. Boosted said what and how we teach and whether we think about overlooked voices and untold histories contributes to whether we're giving young people equal opportunities to succeed at school. Decolonizing can lead us to a more empathetic and fairer society, which is good for us all. But it's also about high quality teaching and more time for critical thinking skills in school. But does it do that? No, it doesn't make a fairer society. It means that you're penalizing and excluding white people because you can't please everybody all of the time. If you're going to be concentrating on one group, it means that is going to be at the expense of the other group. That's why multiculturalism is so wrong. I mean, if you had schools that were all black and schools that were all white, then the black school could concentrate on the black history and the white school could concentrate on the white history and nobody would be missing out. But when you have a multicultural school and it's all concentrating on the black history, then it means the white people are missing out. And it means that what they're being taught is history from a black person's point of view instead of history from a white person's point of view. Responding to the leaked document, the chair of the Common Sense group of Conservative MPs, Sir John Hay, said, "This is sinister to think that people with such a warped view of the past, present and future should be instructing our children is chilling. The truth is Britain has made disproportionately noble contributions to the history of the world." And of course, that is the fact of the matter. That is the objective fact. But these teachers are not being objective. They've been brought up, they've been educated at these universities, which have instilled these left-wing ideas into them. Back to the Black History Month events now at the University of Westminster, banning white people from attending. Dr. Neil Thin of the University of Edinburgh said that it was tragic that a British university was copying the racial segregationism that we have previously seen in South Africa and the USA education systems. It is bitterly ironic to see the rhetoric of safe spaces abused to justify racial segregation. Nothing is more likely to make social spaces unsafe than this kind of willful sowing of inter-ethnic suspicion and division, he added. But it is natural to want to be amongst your own people. That's all that we're seeing here. We've tried to force people together with multiculturalism, and the response has been that white people have said, well, we don't like this, we would rather be amongst our own people. And now what we're seeing is exactly the same amongst the black and minority ethnics. They're also saying now, well, we don't like this either. We want a safe space that just includes black people. We want to see black teachers at the school. We want to see black people on the television and in films. So they're saying the same thing. So multiculturalism doesn't work for black people, doesn't work for white people. And that's what we're seeing here. We're seeing black people pointing out that a safe space for them just includes black people. But if we say a safe space for whites just includes white people, we automatically get accused of being racist. Toby Young of the Free Speech Union concurred. At some point, you'd think it would be clear to these zealots that you are not going to reduce racial discrimination by discriminating against people on the basis of their race, but they are so blinded by ideological groupthink they cannot see this glaring contradiction. But the good thing about this is that lots of white people will see this glaring contradiction, particularly the ones that wanted to go to these anti-whiteness events, these left-wing types that wanted to go, and they're being told, well, you can't go. You can't come because you're white. And there's nothing more likely to wake people up than being excluded on the basis of your race. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion. Talk radio for the nationalist community.